Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Damn good shot. Extremely good shot. Damian Lillard, it says a lot about the arc of the NBA, the way things have bent over the last, you know, half dozen years, that taking a contested 37-foot sidestep three-pointer with, you know, no time remaining on the shot clock is a good shot for somebody. But Damian Lillard shot around, like, I mean, factoring in this postseason, where I think he went 5 for 5 from beyond 30 feet in this series against Oklahoma City, he shot somewhere around 38 or 39% from beyond 30 feet this season. And if you can make him from out there, it's hard to defend him from out there, and they caught there an extra point. So, I mean, the idea that he would, with, you know, whatever it was, 10 seconds left and the ball in his hands in a tie game, just instantly look at it and say, well, this is the shot. This is the shot I'm going to make. And, you know, I'm going to take it and I'm going to make it, and then actually do it is perplexing and mind-blowing. But it was also a heck of a lot of fun to watch, and it's got the Portland on to round two and an awful lot of questions for Oklahoma City.
Well, okay, so in his iconic, fantastic, incredible shot, and it was ballsy, and it was everything you could possibly say and everything you did say in your column. And for lots of players, and it wasn't an awful shot for Dame Lillard because, as you say, 5 of 5 on 30-footers. I don't know that he was 5 for 5 on 37-footers contested by Paul George. Like, I still think that in the end, like, it was a magnificent shot, no question. In the end, isn't the judgment of whether a shot is a bad shot or a good shot, if you miss it, would you say, oh, well, they got the look they wanted? I think for it to be a good shot, you have to say, well, you got the look they wanted. And I don't think if he missed it, we would have said, well, they got the look they wanted.
I think that's a fair point. The only counter that I would have to it is that on a night like last night, with Lillard doing what he was doing,
I can see that, yep.
The shot you want is Damian Lillard pulling up from wherever the hell he wants.
that's the thing, right.
You know, to reach that point, like, there isn't another player in a Blazers uniform I would have felt more comfortable having the ball in his hands. There's not another person I would have, rather made that decision. And, you know, there's not another person I would trust, another person in that game that I would trust to make a shot from anywhere on the court more than I trusted Lillard last night. So I think, you know, you're right. There's that question of process over results, make or miss league, all those sorts of things. But sometimes the stupid is the point, and I think the stupid was kind of the point for Dame Lillard last night. That was it was unforgettable, and we can quibble about about expected shot quality, but I think the Blazers will be doing that in the second round, and the Thunder won't.
It's also true that I mean, it's sort of the counter to he made the smart basketball play. Like when someone gives up a winning shot in the final moments to a lesser player, you're exactly right. The right basketball play was whatever the hell Dame Lillard wanted it to be, and that's the right basketball play. Sometimes those things converge, and we take that out of the equation when we talk about, I mean, it comes up most famously with LeBron not taking shots, right, fair or unfair, in his past, because he makes the quote-unquote right basketball play. But yes, is the right basketball play the best basketball player taking the shot? It was a remarkable moment. Okay, the flip side of that, and then he had the presence to say wave goodbye, which was just absolutely magnificent as well, to Oklahoma City. You mentioned the questions ahead of Oklahoma City. What are among them?
I mean, what do you do now? It's a big one with a lot of sort of subheadings underneath it, because this is now three straight first-round exits since Kevin Durant left. You can make your arguments for why it was understandable in 2017 when there was, just an undermanned roster and Russ doing everything on the way to his MVP. Last season there was, the chemistry never quite seemed to get right with George and Carmelo Anthony and whatever else they were trying to figure out there alongside Russ. And this year was the year it was supposed to be different, and it did look different for about 4 or 5 months. And then from about the All-Star break on, whether because Paul George was injured, whether because Steven Adams was a step lower, worse than he'd been, whether it was because the collective shooting on the roster was continually a problem and lacking, whether there wasn't enough depth behind their top tier stars, whether you can make enough depth behind your top tier stars when you're paying $200 million to Russell Westbrook and a 4-year max to Paul George and $100 million to Steven Adams. There are all these roster management kind of concerns, and especially that become even more concerning when, you're paying, say, for Steven Adams is a great example. My colleague Jonathan Sharks wrote about this earlier this week. He's got to be one of your best players because you need him to be the foundation of your defense and the back line and the guy who boxes out so everybody else can get their rebounds and stuff like that. And he was, borderline unplayable at times against Portland. Lillard and McCollum got whatever they wanted, stringing him out in the pick and roll. The Thunder came back last night when they went away from him. He sat on the bench for the entire fourth quarter when they went small with Jeremy Grant. So that's your third highest paid player and one of your three most important players. And how functional a piece is he in these sorts of series? Westbrook obviously is 15 columns worth of material. But that conversation about what he gives you versus what he takes off the table. The shooting concerns, the inconsistency, the fact that you can pretty easily game plan and defend against him when he's not, superhuman in terms of his athleticism. The fact that Enes Kanter did not get played off the floor in this series in pick and roll coverage when they were running pick and roll with Russell Westbrook right at him, I think is a major, major tell and a major concern for Oklahoma City as Russ goes beyond age 30 and has $170 million left on that contract and is just fresh off the worst shooting season of his career. How do you rebuild when you have this structure in place? You're a team built to win now, and if you're not winning now, then what do you do about it? And these are all big questions that Sam Presti has paid a lot of money to try to resolve, and how he tries to address them ought to be fascinating. And I think an interesting possibility is he might look at the team that just eliminated his from the playoffs and say, sometimes just sort of doing what you do better and having everybody healthy at the right time of year, or having everybody in their right form at the right time of year, is the best answer. So, but that required Damian Lillard and the Blazers, who got embarrassed last season and when they got swept out of the playoffs, everybody to go back, kind of go into the lab and come back stronger. It's going to need to be a lot of the same sort of soul searching and change for a lot of those players in Oklahoma City, and I wonder how many of them are up to it.
Meanwhile, over in the East, our adopted team from the Great North has advanced. Mark is playing probably the role he likes to play. Like he really, a lot of times he's the fourth guy you talk about now in that game. Sometimes the fifth you talk about for Toronto. They are absolutely paralyzing defensively, suffocating, I suppose, would be the word, is defensively. But now we have this fascinating Toronto Philly series. What do you make of it? What do you make of Toronto?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to think about, this time, whatever it was, 10 days ago, we were looking at Toronto down 0-1 and Philly down 0-1 and wondering if we were about to be in for chaos. And then the top four seeds in the East won the next 16 games. So maybe a little bit less chaos than we might have thought. But what I make of Toronto is that is a we're seeing the vision of Masai Ujiri had when he made those moves come into place. You have incredibly smart defenders with size and length and the understanding of how to blow up opponent sets and how to get their hands in passing lanes and recover on plays and rotate on a string and yada, yada, yada. And a lot of them can shoot. almost all of them can shoot and shoot pretty well. And even when Kyle Lowry isn't shooting the ball particularly well, he's still incredibly impactful for that team. And, oh, by the way, they got a Hulk. Kawhi Leonard shot, I think he scored 20, averaged 28 a game on something like 55% shooting, 53% from three. Absolutely destroyed Aaron Gordon in that series. Obviously, you know, higher level work lie ahead. But Joel Embiid is the big X factor in that series because, you know, when he's on the court, he's, I don't know, he's Shaq, he's, you know, he's Kareem, but he's dragging around a sore knee that had him miss a game in the first round, and how effective he's going to be, you know, every other night against a really good Raptors team remains to be seen. Mark has been a really good defender of big post guys like Embiid and Embiid specifically in his career, so that's another look that they can throw that Brooklyn certainly couldn't match in terms of the size and the physicality. I think if I was handicapping it right now, I would make Toronto the favorite, just because I think that there are more answers that that Toronto can have for Philadelphia's defensive questions. I think that I believe that the Raptors' defense is going to be better equipped to slow down Philadelphia's offense than Brooklyn was, and that some other teams might, just based on their ability to to go big and stay small and match up on the wing. But I think if you get a healthy Embiid on the floor, you get an aggressive Ben Simmons, and Jimmy Butler sort of turned himself into a grade A role player in the first round. You know, a backup point guard and a guy who gets in where he fits in, and he's extremely good at that. Sort of like a prime Andre Iguodala kind of player. That it could be a real interesting styles make fights kind of matchup. But I think you're seeing the Raptors look exactly the way that Masai Ujiri hoped they would at this time of the year.
Dan, thank you very much. Read Dan's stuff at The Ringer, including the piece that he has on last night's dramatic ending, and follow him on Twitter at YourManDivine. Thanks, Dan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.